All right. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Last time I checked, we all have breath, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. If you have your Bibles with you, go to Luke chapter number 15. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 15. Brother Danny, you enjoy that this morning? We keep a good secret, don't we? Miss Carol been planning that. Y'all did good, by the way, this morning. Y'all give him a hand one more time. I'm glad they all ain't serving the devil. There's still some young people that want to serve the Lord. Let me tell you, you'll never regret serving the Lord. Don't ever let this world bring you down. Say it ain't fun. You'll have more fun serving the Lord than you will this world. So keep on serving the Lord. He'll do good things through you. Luke chapter number 15. Find your place in verse number 11. If you've been in church any amount of time, you're very familiar with this story that Jesus told. And I pray God will give us some help out of it this morning. Verse number 11, the Bible says, and He said, and if you have a red letter Bible, you'll see that the person talking is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, He says, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. He began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. We'll stop right there. Father, we bless you for your word. God, we thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who never stopped looking for us. The one who's faithful to us. The one who's so good to us beyond what we deserve. And God, I pray today, it's already been good to be in your house. But God, I pray that as we open up your word and let us see what you want us to see, and God, hear what you want us to hear. And God, I pray that when we walk out of here, we'll have such an appreciation for who you are and God, what you've done for us as our Heavenly Father. We thank you this morning. God, I pray that you'll cleanse us of our sin, fill us with your Spirit. God, give us what we stand in need of today. For all of it, we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Let me give you the background. Like I said, if you've been in church any amount of time, you've heard the story that Jesus told here in Luke chapter number 15. But in verse number 1, the Bible tells us who Jesus is speaking to. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Luke chapter 15, it says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. How many of you are glad that Jesus receives sinners? He still loves sinners. He still likes sinners. And I, for one, am glad of that this morning. The Bible says that as he sat with these sinners, the Pharisees, the Jewish Pharisees who were religious people, they began to murmur. And they began to talk behind Jesus' back. Now, how many of you know you might can talk behind your mama's back, your daddy's back, and somebody on the church's on the church pew's back, but there's one person you can't talk behind his back, and that's Jesus. The Bible says Jesus knows their thoughts, and he's sure enough gonna know what they're saying about him. And they start talking about Jesus, and all of a sudden Jesus is all right. Let me tell you why I sit with the publicans and the sinners. And you know, Jesus has already answered this question one time. In Luke chapter 5 and verse 30, they walked to Jesus' face and they said, why do you eat and drink with the publicans and sinners? And I'm thankful for what he said. He said, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said, the reason I sit with them is because the reason I'm on earth is for them. Unlike you that think you don't need any saving. I came to save them. The ones that realize they're sinners and the ones that realize they need a Savior. And they go off and they're still mad. They come a few months later, maybe even a year later, to Luke chapter number 15. They're still murmuring. They're still mad about the fact that Jesus is sitting around a bunch of sinners. So Jesus says, all right, well, they didn't get it last time, so let me illustrate it to them. Let me tell them why I'm sitting around these sinners. And Jesus begins a list of parables here in Luke chapter number 15. Now, I had a kindergarten teacher, and boy, she could tell some good stories. When she told a story, I felt like I was right in the middle of that book. My mama can tell good stories. I feel like I'm right in the middle of it. Half the time, I didn't read the books. I just let her read them to me because I couldn't pay attention when I was reading them. Now, Monica, she can tell a good story. I mean, she'll give you all the details of it. I just tell it. She says I'm a horrible storyteller. But you know, there's no greater person that was a greater storyteller than the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest stories you'll ever find in the Bible that he told is right here in Luke chapter number 15. He gives us a few stories here, a few parables here. And the first one he starts out with is the parable of the lost sheep. The shepherd had 100 sheep, and the Bible says 99 were in the flock, but one got out and got missing. But the Bible says that shepherd said, y'all stay here, I'm going to go look for that one. And the Bible says when he found that one, he rejoiced. He wasn't mad at him. He rejoiced at the fact that he found him. Next parable he told was of a woman that had lost 10 coins. Now, back in these days, these 10 coins were basically almost like a wedding ring or an engagement ring. Some of y'all women lost y'all's engagement ring or a wedding ring. What would you do? You'd start looking for it. The Bible says this woman, she began to look for it. And when she found it stuck under her house or under her couch, she began to rejoice. Because that which was lost was now found. But then Jesus gets into one of the greatest parables he ever told, the parable of the prodigal son, to show us that something got lost. But when it got found, there was rejoicing more than they had ever rejoiced before. The parable of the prodigal son is what I just read to you in the story that Jesus is telling these scribes and Pharisees. And I know we've heard it our whole life. But I pray the Holy Spirit of God will give us help today and what we stand in need of, and God will speak to our heart today. So let's just look at this parable this morning just for the next few minutes. I want to show you three things in this parable. The first thing that I want to show you is you'll see a rebellious son. You'll see a rebellious son in verses 11 through 16. Now, the Bible says in verse number 11 that this father, he had two sons. And in verse number 12, it says that the younger son went up to his father and said, I want my inheritance now. In other words, Dad, you are getting older, but it doesn't look like you're going to die anytime soon. I am ready for my inheritance now. I'm tired of waiting on you to die. I want my inheritance. I want to get rich now. And look what the father did. The father very well could have looked at him and said, no, that's not how it works. I'm not going to give you your part now. You got to wait. The Bible says that the father gave it to him, even though he knew that wasn't good for him. You know, sometimes I'm glad that the Lord doesn't answer my prayers. If the Lord gave me everything that I wanted, I'd be in trouble. But you know, there are sometimes that some of the things that I want that aren't necessarily good for me, God allows me to have them in order to teach me a lesson. And I believe that that's exactly what this father is doing. He says, I'll give it to you because you'll learn a pretty hard lesson through it. And it might make you better for it. But the boy, I can imagine him at his home. He's living there with his older brother, as I used to do. I was the youngest one in my family. And he's tired of living under his father's rules. He's tired of being in this house. He's tired of having rules every time he goes to school. He's tired of having rules every time he goes home. He's tired of being drugged to church every Sunday. He's tired of doing whatever his parents make him to do. And the thing that the boy is saying is, the first chance that I get out of this house, I'm going as far away possible as I can. You know, I thought that when I was 16 and 17. I thought, I can't wait to go to college. I'm getting out of here. Matter of fact, I only went 10 minutes away from my house, Miss Nan. I started out wanting to go 10 hours, ended up 10 minutes. But we all have that rebellious side in us. See, I'm tired of living under these rules and regulations. I want to get out and I want to do my own thing. And this boy is probably doing the same thing. He says, the first chance I get out of here, I'm gone. And that's exactly what happened. He got his chance. And the Bible says in verse 13, his father gave him his inheritance. He gathered all of his stuff together, and look where he went. The Bible says he took his journey into a far country. Into a far country, not a near country. He didn't go close to his father's house. He went as far away as possible from his father's house. I'm tired of being here. I don't even want to be near my father's house. I'm going to the far country. In other words, this boy has gone astray. This boy has gone astray. Now, before I really get into this morning, I know Baptists. I are one. Been one for 25 years. And I know what Baptists think when the prodigal son starts being preached. Boy, I hope so-and-so is here this morning. He really needs to hear this. But you know what the Bible says? All we like sheep have gone astray. Not just him, not just her has gone astray, all. And when the Bible says all, it means all. All is all, and that's all that all means. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray, all of us. We've made a few journeys into the far country ourselves. Let's look at what this far country was all about. The Bible tells us that this far country, he found a season of fun in the far country. The Bible says in verse number 13, not many days after he got all of his inheritance, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance. I can see this boy. I don't know if they had trailers back in this day, but back in this day, most of the time when parents gave the son their inheritance, that was supposed to last them the rest of their life. Can you imagine how much stuff this boy had carrying into this far country? I don't know if he had a horse and buggy. I don't know if he had a trailer carrying all this stuff. But he's carrying all this stuff into a far country, probably stumbling around. Well, look at all this stuff I got, Brother Ed. And he gets to the gates of the far country, and guess what happens? The women start looking at him. He's not that cute, but look at all that stuff he's got. And the guys start looking. Now, if it was this day, it'd be a little bit different. But they start looking, and they say, boy, he's got a lot of stuff. If we just become his friend, maybe he can give us some of that stuff. And he gets into the far country. The women are all around him. He's got more friends than he's ever had. And he begins to go and say, look at all this stuff I got. Let's spend it. Let's have the time of our life. I'm out of my father's house. I don't have any rules. I can do whatever I want to do. And he goes and he begins to spend it. And he's got as much friends as he's ever had. He's having as much fun as he's ever had. He's going to bed each night saying, boy, this is what I've been missing out on all my life, Brother Johnny. This is fun. I can't believe I stayed at my father's house that long. This is fun. I'm having the time of my life out here. Friends everywhere. Women flocking to me out of nowhere. And I'm having the time of my life. How many of you know when you got a lot of stuff, you got a lot of friends too? But this boy will soon find out when the stuff goes, soon the friends will go too. And he's living it up. How many of you know that's been to the far country? When you're having a season of fun, soon that season of fun comes to a screeching halt. Out of nowhere. You never expected it to stop being fun, but out of nowhere, it stops being fun. And this season of fun soon turned into a serious famine. Why did it turn into a serious famine? Well, the Bible says in verse number 14, when he was wasting his substance, he came to a place where he spent all. Not soon after, I don't believe. He had all this stuff. All of a sudden, he comes to a place where he ain't even got a dime to his name. And look at this. All of a sudden, as soon as he spent everything that he had, the Bible says there arose a mighty famine in that land. When he didn't have a dime to call back home with, he spent everything and a mighty famine rose up. A famine in the Middle East was a bad thing in Jesus' day. They relied upon the rain. They didn't have any rain, they didn't have any crops. They didn't have any rain, they didn't have any food. They didn't have any rain, they didn't have any water to drink from the well. They didn't have any of this stuff. If it did not rain, everybody in the land suffered. And you see, what this boy could have done is he could have saved up all of his inheritance. And when the famine came, he could have said, hey, we're fine, we got all this stuff to deal with. But he spent it all, and all of a sudden, as soon as he spent it all, the famine came, the blessing stopped coming, the rain stopped coming. I want you to think about this. Last time I checked, who's over the weather? Is it Larry Sprinkle? Does he control whether it rains or not? Who does? God does. So I believe in all my heart, God was the one that said, I'm cutting off the rain. I'm going to cut off this rain, and I'm going to bring a famine into the land. I said, why is that? Because you know more than I know, in all my heart, if your daddy, you was back home on your knees every single day, saying, God, my son's in a far country, and I don't want him to be there anymore. Whatever it takes, bring him back home. Whatever it takes, don't let my son die out there in that far country, but bring him back home. You know what God did? I'll do it. God said, let me take care of it. I'll get him back home. And you know what he did? He sent a famine. God says, if I can get into rock bottom, the only place he can look is up. Do you realize that? Sometimes God wants to get us to rock bottom because you can't look down no more. The only place you can look is up. And that's exactly what happened. In the days of Elijah, the Bible says that they were wicked. They were idolatrous. They didn't want anything to do with God, but they were living large. And the Bible says Elijah prayed that it might not rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years because Elijah said, God, if everything's going good, nobody's going to turn to you. But if you start sending a famine, if you start getting things messed up in their life, there ain't but one place to look, and that's to you. And that's exactly what began to happen. Famine came 3.5 years. They finally turned to God. And I told you a few weeks ago, there's a friend of mine that says he don't want anything to do with God anymore. He don't believe in God anymore. And I'm not praying for God to send him blessings to get him back. That won't get us back when everything's going good. You know what gets us back? When everything gets miserable. And there ain't but one place to look. When you're at rock bottom, you're at the bottom, there ain't but one place to look. But I sure am thankful when you get to rock bottom, you'll find out that there's a rock at the bottom. And that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. But how quickly this season of fun turned into a serious famine, and he soon found out that those girls that were flocking to him, when he didn't have any more stuff, they weren't nowhere to be found. He soon found out when those friends that were all around him, when he didn't have any more stuff, those friends were nowhere to be found. They left him out on the side of the road, didn't have any food, barely had any clothes, hadn't had a shower, has not had anything, and he's left on the side of the road when he used to have everything he wanted. He now has nothing. Do you know that that's the main tactic of the devil in our life? He wants to sneak into your home. He wants to sneak into your life. He wants to sneak into your job. He wants to sneak into everything. And when he's done taking away everything he wants to take away, he'll get out and act like he was never there. And that's exactly what the world did to this boy. They took everything that he had and they said, we don't want you anymore. We don't want you anymore. And we come to a place in this story to where the boy is, he's just about to hit rock bottom. And he turns from a season of fun to a serious famine. And the third one, he turns to swine feeding. Verse 15, he says, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Now, to the local Jew, remember Jesus was talking to the Jewish people, the Pharisees. To the Pharisees, this was the most horrendous thing that this boy could do. Because to the Jewish people, pigs and swine are unclean. The Bible says in Leviticus chapter number 11 and verse number 7, and the swine, he is unclean to you. That means don't get near it, don't touch it, don't get anywhere close to the pigs, don't get anywhere close to the swine, because it's unclean. And we can imagine here that this boy is a Jewish boy, but the Bible says he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. When you're in a far country, the best thing to do is not to join up with another person in the far country. But he went and joined himself to another person that was in the far country. And now he's wallowing around in the pig's pen. And he's made a mess. And he begins to look, and he literally doesn't have any food. And he says, I'll willingly eat whatever the pigs are eating. If this guy would just bring them some food, I'll eat it too. That's how low this boy got, from being all the way up here to getting all the way down to a place where he was down there. And the Pharisees were listening. And when Jesus said he went into the pig pen to feed swine, to be with them, the Pharisees, I can imagine looking at Jesus and saying, that's disgusting. That's sick. That's what he deserves. He's filthy. He's rotten. He's a sinner. And nobody wants him. He's done. He'll never come back from this. But ain't you glad that that ain't the end of the story? I sure am glad when the world looks at us and says, he's done. He ain't coming back from that. I don't want him. This world doesn't want you. Nobody wants you, that there's a father back home that still wants you. When this world looks and says, he's done, I don't want him, you got to remember, there's a father back home who says, yeah, but I still do. And he's still back home praying for his boy to come home. And I can imagine the Pharisees are just getting all over Jesus, saying, that's disgusting, we don't want it. And Jesus looks at him and says, hey, hold on. That ain't the end. That ain't the end. Because not only in this story will you find a rebellious son, you'll find a repenting sinner. You'll find a repenting sinner. Look at verse 17. I like these words. And when he came to himself, he finally came to the point where he came to himself. And at this moment in the story that Jesus is telling, this boy has hit rock bottom. And he found that there was a rock at the bottom. I can see him sitting in the pig pen. He's literally made a mess of his life, and he's sitting, standing in a literal mess right here in this pig pen. And he begins to look around, and he says, how in the world did I get myself here? I don't know about you, but have you ever asked yourself that question? How in the world did I end up here? How did I end up in the mess that I'm in today? I can remember the time in my life to where verse 17 happened for me, to where I came to myself. It was a night in December, 2 a.m., 21 degrees outside. I checked it on my phone. And the Lord woke me up, and I couldn't go back to sleep. Anybody else ever done that? And I went outside. Didn't care how cold it was. And me and the Lord had a conversation that we hadn't had in probably 3 years. I hadn't talked to him in a long time. And he finally looked at me and said, you've made a mess of things. And I realized if I stayed where I was, it wasn't going to be pretty for me, Herky. I was going to make a bigger mess. And the Lord said, why don't you just come back home? Things were a whole lot better when you were with me, wasn't they? And I realized things were a whole lot better when I was walking with him than when I was walking with myself and doing what I wanted to do. And I said this, I remember I said, God, I'll try to come back. I don't know if I can come back to you after all I've done. I don't know if you'll accept me. I remember thinking that, Brother Ed. I doubt you'll use me. I doubt you'll accept me back. You'll probably reject me. And that's what this boy says. He said, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your servants. He said, I just want to go back. I don't care if I'm your son anymore. I just want to be where you are. And that's what I said. I said, God, I don't care. I just want to be where you are. Because I went where I was. And it's miserable there. And the Bible says in verse 20, that boy finally got up. He said, I'm tired of this. He arose, came to his father. I can imagine this. The whole way he was walking back from that far country, he's imagining getting back home. Saying, I can see it now. When I get back home, my father's going to be sitting there with crossed arms on the front porch. Saying, where you been, boy? You ain't welcome back here anymore. You've been gone too long. We're doing fine without you. You shouldn't have came back. And this boy's saying, I don't want to be your son anymore. Just make me a servant. This boy was expecting to get home and find a rejecting father. He found exactly what he was not expecting. I can remember a time in my life, as I just told you, that I wasn't walking with the Lord. I didn't want to walk with the Lord. I didn't want to be in church. I didn't want to be anywhere near it. But then the Lord started to deal with me. I was doing my business degree. I was going to go be an accountant, sit at a desk, make money, do family, be fine. The Lord said, no, you ain't. I got something different. I want you to preach the gospel. I said, yeah, you got the wrong person this time. Keep on going by. And I wanted to rebel. God, I don't want to do that. And the place you want to go when you want to rebel is the beach. Is the beach. When you're a teenager and you don't want to walk with God, all you got to do is go to Myrtle Beach. And you ain't got to walk with God there. So I went down there. I said, I'm going to get out of here. Do what I want to do. When I got down there, went with some people. I didn't drive. I got down there, the whole way down there, I had that uneasy feeling about me. You ever had that? I knew I wasn't doing something that was right. And I got down there, and we got into the house. They started playing music that I knew I shouldn't have been listening to. They started drinking stuff that I knew I shouldn't be drinking. They started looking at stuff that I knew I shouldn't be looking at. And I don't know about you, but I came under Holy Spirit conviction. Have you ever been there? The Holy Spirit says, hey, you ain't supposed to be here. I called you for something better. You ain't supposed to be here. And I said, just go on. Try to have fun. Just go on. And he wouldn't go away. I said, boy, you ain't supposed to be here. And I thought, well, God, I didn't drive. I thought of every excuse in the book. I didn't drive. I sure ain't walking 4 hours back home. And I realized something. The only way for me to get out of this was to call my daddy. And when I called my daddy, it was 2 a.m. that night. I had waited that long. It was 2 a.m. He didn't answer because he was sleeping like he should have been. I left him a voicemail. I said, Dad, I know that I'm 4 hours away. And I know I shouldn't have came down here in the first place. But if you get time, can you come pick me up? And I went to sleep that night. And I woke up. And I knew I still shouldn't be there. My daddy wasn't there. And I thought, well, I'm just going to have to stick it out. I'll be all right. All of a sudden, I'm sitting out on that porch and 3 o'clock in that afternoon, I see a familiar car drive up, Brother Johnny. And my daddy looked at me and said, get in the car. And when I expected him to look at me and say, this is your mess, you clean it up, I looked and I said, I'm sorry, you didn't have to drive 4 hours. He said, where do you want to go eat? And we went and ate. Do you realize something? I couldn't get home unless my father came and got me. There wasn't no way home. This boy, the prodigal son, I believe he was so weak, hadn't ate anything, he hadn't drank anything, and he was in a far country. There was absolutely no way he was walking all the way back home. He'd have fell out and he'd have died right in the middle of the wilderness. But verse 20 says this, he arose and he started back home. And all of a sudden, his father saw him. And when his father saw him, he took off running. The son couldn't see the father yet, but the father saw him. And he took off running. And the Bible says when he got to him, he didn't look at him and say, "Where you been?" He says he got to him, he fell on him, and he started kissing him. And he said, "I know you couldn't get back home, and I saw you out here. You was about to faint, you was about to fall, you was about to fall over, you was about to die, so I had to come pick you up." I don't know about you. I don't know what you picture God to be like sitting in heaven. Most people picture Him as an ogre that's sitting up there with a gavel trying to beat us when we mess up. But can I tell you, my favorite picture of God is right here in Luke chapter number 15. Because He is a God who, when we mess up, is not looking at us. And He's saying, hey, I know you messed up. But He's looking at us and saying, "I know you messed up. You're but dust, but I can forgive you for whatever you've done. I'm not a God that wants to punish you. I am a God that wants to give you a brand new life. I'm a God that can forgive you. Not only am I a God that can forgive you, but I'm a God who looks at you and says, hey, I forget everything you've ever done." The boy looked at him and said, "I'm no more worthy to be called your son." And if you'll notice, he didn't even finish his sentence till the father said, "Bring out the robe, bring out the shoes, and bring out the fatted calf. We're going to eat some ribeye tonight." The father said, "Don't even mention it. I ain't worried about it because it's over. You came back home. I sure am thankful for the day I came back home. And when I was expecting to find an earthly father who was mad he had to drive 4 hours, he wasn't at all. And when I came back home to God, I expected to find a heavenly father who said, 'I can't ever use you again. You done messed up everything.' He looked at me and never brought it up again." When stuff in your past starts coming up in your mind, you got to realize that's not God. God never brings that stuff up. Because the Bible says He cast it into the depths of the sea. Now, if you happen to go to Myrtle Beach, next time what I want you to do, if you got a water bottle, fill that cap up with water and take it down to the ocean. And then pour that piece of water in the ocean. Walk back to your seat and then walk back to the ocean and try to pick up that same drop of water that you dropped in there. Are you going to be able to pick up that same drop of water? See, that's the same thing God did with our sins. He threw them into the sea and says, "I'm done with them. You'll never find them again." A God that knows everything. It's so amazing to me that an omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient God who knows absolutely everything can look at our sins and say, "What you talking about? Because I don't remember them anymore." I sure am thankful that when we come to God, we don't find a rejecting father, we find a rejoicing father. "Bring out the fatted calf and kill it, and we are going to eat, because my son was dead, yet here he is alive. My son was lost, and yet here he is, and he is found." I don't know where you are today, but I've been to a far country. And it may be fun now, but can I tell you, it's going to come a season to where it gets real miserable. And you may be in that point right now to where you say, "God, I've walked away from you. I don't want anything to do with you." But you found out that wasn't the life you wanted. Can I say that there's a God who's still looking for you? And He's still looking for you to come right back home. Because back home at the Father's house is the best place you'll ever find. A far country is where this boy went, but he came back and he found the Father's country. And it was a whole lot better than anywhere he had ever been. We've got a God today. Like I said, He's not an ogre. He's not mad when you mess up. He just says, "Just come, and I'll cover it. Just come, and I'll forgive you." And He'll rejoice with you that you've came back. And He'll never mention it again. There's people in here that have husbands that are in a far country, have wives that are in a far country, sons and daughters, grandsons, granddaughters that are in a far country, friends that are in a far country. It'd be real good if you find your place on this altar and pray for them, that they'd come back from that far country and find that there's a way better country. Musicians, you can come. Father, we bless you this morning for being our Heavenly Father. God, we thank you that although we mess up every day, you sent your Son Jesus to show us that we were sinners. The only reason Jesus came is because we were sinners. Because we couldn't do it on our own. We couldn't make it on our own. We'd never be good enough. So God, I thank you that when we weren't good enough, you were. And you came and you died for our sins and you covered them and you cast them into the depths of the sea. And God, I pray for those people today that are walking around with just a burden of guilt over what they've done or where they are. God, you said that when we come to you, you lift all those things. You take all of them and you forgive us for them. God, I thank you that you always accept us back no matter how far we've gone. We all like sheep have gone astray, but you laid on the Lord Jesus Christ our iniquity and you forgave it. Lord, we thank you for that this morning. I pray for those in our church family, in our own families, maybe in a far country, God. I pray they'll find that there's a better country and come back to you. God, we bless you today. We thank you for being our Heavenly Father and being so good. In Jesus' name, amen.